Hey, my friends, what is happening? I am super stoked to welcome you back to the Marley Williams podcast, where this week my guest is Jimmy Cannon, who is a voice and public speaking coach who helps business leaders, entrepreneurs, and teams communicate with confidence, clarity, and presence. And today he is going to share his signature Cannon method with you. So if you speak in any capacity as a coach, a leader, a facilitator, a keynote speaker, this podcast episode is going to amplify your impact by using your voice on purpose. All of the things that he is going to share with us today, I learned a ton as a speaker myself, and I can't wait for you to really cultivate your confidence in communicating with presence, purpose, and power. Let's dive in to this conversation. Can't wait to share it with you today. Let's go. Hey everyone, what's happening? I am super stoked to welcome you to the Marley Williams podcast, where we will explore authentic leadership, transformational facilitation, and how to create epic experiences for your audiences every single time. I am your host, Marley Williams, bringing you thought-provoking insights, expert interviews, and actionable strategies to unlock your potential as a leader, facilitator, and speaker. Thank you for joining me on this journey of growth, transformation, and impact. Let's lead together. The Marley Williams podcast begins now. Let's dive in. Where this week you're in for a treat. We are hanging out with Jimmy Cannon, who is a voice and speaking coach. And this is something that I love so much as a performer, as a speaker. I love geeking out on this. And so, Jimmy, I am so excited for you to be here with us today, for you to share your magic with all of us, your methodology that you've created. And as we dive into our conversation, I would love for you to share a little bit about your journey and what led you to being a voice coach and helping speakers, like you say, speak without fear, which I love so much.
Fantastic, Marley. Well, thank you so much for the invitation to be here. It's a real pleasure. We had a wonderful chat at the beginning. I feel like I know you a lot more now than I did, obviously, 10 minutes ago, which is fantastic. And I'm really excited to get to know more about what you do and what your listeners do, etc. So that's brilliant. So yes, I've been like yourself, a singer and saxophonist. Well, you haven't been, I don't know if you've been a singer and saxophonist.
I haven't been a singer, but
it's never too late to start.
Teach me how to be a singer, Jimmy. That's one of my life goals.
Let's do it. Absolutely. No problem at all. So I've been a jazz singer. I'm slightly hesitant when I talk to Americans about this, because obviously it's your music. I don't want to take that away from you. So I've been a British jazz singer for a saxophonist for most of my life. And probably about 10 years ago, I transferred those skills. I've been teaching singing and performance for a very long time in universities in London, et cetera. And I transferred those skills into speaking. I was at a party. I remember it being a Eurovision party. I co-wrote one of the Eurovision songs. I can't remember what it is now for the life of me. A long time ago now. And I was at this party and I was talking to a chap who is in advertising. And I said, I'm really fascinated with the speaking voice and how we communicate using our voice. And he said, oh my word, I would die for some training, because weekly we have to do presentations to the team. And I'm really nervous. My voice is really weak. And, you know, if you could help me, that would be great. So he was my first client. And so just literally from that conversation. So from then on, I decided that I ought to find out a little bit more about the voice. So I ended up doing a master's in voice pedagogy and with the University of Wales. And I then, through that experience, I finished that, thought that I would be working with people like yourself, professional speakers and more experienced speakers who just needed maybe to top up their voices and just a little bit of, you know, professional development. What I ended up doing was people were coming to me because they were experiencing anxiety. They were experiencing tight throats, heart palpitations, sweaty palms, fogginess, all of these sort of physiological and behavioral and psychological responses to that. My mentor, when I had finished my MA, and I was, you know, we, you know, obviously, you know, you've done an MA, and you know, you have to do all the assignments, et cetera, et cetera. This was an academic master's, by the way, and I had already, I've been a performer, so it was a nightmare. I had no idea what a citation was at the beginning. I do, I hope, still don't really.
Same. Yeah.
It was... It was a nightmare. Absolutely. I think I wrote 72,000 words. I've never written so much in my life, but it was a great journey. I learned a lot, which is great. But anyway, her suggestion was I go into behavioral therapy, and I studied acceptance and commitment therapy, which was absolutely fascinating. And I hadn't heard of it before. And so I've spent the last 5 years embellishing my voice coaching practice with acceptance and commitment therapy, and more than happy to talk about that, obviously. And that's what I do now, a sort of holistic approach. I also did a leadership coaching qualification, actually. Level 7, and I finished that a couple of years ago. So somebody said, "Oh, it is no point in going into the corporate world, Jimmy, and with your singing background, say I can help you speak with more confidence," because they're just going to say, "Well, hang on a minute, who have you helped here? What sort of coaching experience do you have?" So I've got a leadership coaching qualification, which has enabled me, quite frankly, to be able to listen, which my wife is so pleased about.
That is 80% of coaching is listening and asking really good questions, right? So such a great skill to have to bring into the work that you do with the clients that you work with, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So that's just been an amazing experience and journey for me to bring in those skills and techniques and methods. So it's a holistic approach. With the coaching and the ACT and the voice coaching. So I help people predominantly with their voice. I'm going to stop talking, I promise. But what invariably happens is that with more control over their voice, particularly on the out-breath, we'll get into the depth of this, I'm sure, but at some point. But with more control over your voice, you develop more confidence. And it's a physiological experience, which is linked to the sympathetic system and so the vagus nerve, etc. So there's a lot of connection between the biology of the physiology of the voice and also the cognitive connection as well with the voice and with the anxiety. So that's been a really fascinating journey of helping people to control their out-breath as they're speaking and just actually to slow down, which I need to do now because I get very passionate about what I'm saying. We all do, I think.
I love that. I'm excited to dive into that more. As you're sharing, thank you so much for sharing your journey and your story. And, you know, I have so many amazing guests on the show, and I love the unique constellations of your experience, right? Bringing performance and speaking and leadership and coaching and bringing it to this place of like, how do I help people like find their voice and find their confidence? And how we were talking about this before we started recording of like, how do I communicate clearly and powerfully? And when we learn how to use our voice, like you just said, it's like that can help us be more confident. My question for you, because, you know, as a public speaker, you know, people are like, I cannot believe that you do this and you're choosing to do this, right? Some people, quote unquote, have to do this for their job, right? Like you said, this person, I have to give these presentations at work. And so I just want to say to anyone out there listening, even if you're not like a professional paid public speaker, there are so many moments in our life where we're called to share a message, an idea, whether that's a toast at a wedding, whether that's a presentation at work, right? Leading a meeting, leading a team. And so I'm curious, because of the work that you do, why do you think it freaks people out so much? Like, what is your sense of why public speaking? Like, again, if you ask people, like, what is your biggest fear, even above death and spiders and snakes, is the fear of public speaking. Why do you think that is? I'm so curious if you have any ideas.
It's generally the self-conscious feeling that you're of self-judgment. So it's the worry that you're being judged. So the worry that every time that you speak, particularly, so most of my clients are fine one-to-one, but when they have to speak to groups of people, they are then distracted with their, so so the worry, the initial worry is that they are, the perception of them, of them, how they come across to others is being judged. They are being judged by others in the group. So their perception of how they come across is heightened. And so their fear of being judged is heightened consequently. So that's what they're concerned about. They're more concerned about how they might be coming across. The reality is that most of the audience, regardless of pretty much what the scenario is, they just want you to succeed. They want you. They're positive. They want you. They want the information. They're there for a reason. You know, even if it's a team meeting or, you know, or whatever it might be. But there's a small percentage of people that are very, very highly, engaged with how they come across, with as in their perfectionism or imposter syndrome. So they're really thinking about, they're worried about how they're coming across from their perspective. They feel that they haven't reached the mark or they reached their expectations. But most people are bothered about how other people are judging them or the perception of others or from others. That's the main thing. So what's happening is that we are fused with our cognitive thoughts. So we are, any sort of physical feeling, whether it be, you know, tight throat, as I said before, raised heartbeat, heart palpitations, sweaty palms, that those types of physical reactions are based on or connected to our cognitive fusion. So fusion of negative thoughts or feelings. So think about feelings or physical feelings as thoughts. They are the same thing. So if you're feeling tight in the chest, it's generally because you're concerned about how you're coming across. You're concerned about how you're going to be perceived, or are you going to get, you know, are you going to forget your words? Are you going to get the decks wrong? Is somebody going to walk in late? How are you going to deal with that? All of these worries that you might have or fears that you might have are going to come into existence through a physical reaction. And that might be behavioral. It might be that you're speaking too quickly. It might be that you're shaking. It might be that you're not looking at everybody in the room. You might be looking down at the table or the floor. It might be that you're having to hold a bottle of water or lean on the chair. All of these physical behavioral aspects of what you're doing when you're speaking are, if you like, a crutch, a cognitive or psychological crutch to allow you to get through what is a perceived fear. So what we need to do is to diffuse those negative thoughts, and that's the practice that's the methodology that I help is to diffuse those negative thoughts or feelings from your cognitive mind so you can focus on what's important, which is delivering an authentic, or I prefer the word genuine, message.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that piece of understanding that those physical sensations that so often people feel, like the heart pounding, the palm sweating, that tightness in the throat, come from our thoughts. And our thoughts being that fear of judgment of other people, like worried about how I'm coming across, worried about what other people are going to think. And, you know, one thing that I share with other speakers who are nervous, and I always say, if you're not nervous, you probably are in the ground, meaning like you don't have a heartbeat. We all get nervous. And so I think there's like recognizing there's a certain element that is where that's helpful. That adrenaline that's moving through us can help us think clearly, but then it reaches a certain threshold where it's not helpful and we black out, or we, you know, stop breathing and we lose our sense of focus and all of that. So I think it's like, it's normal to be nervous, but not to the degree of like, it's like almost debilitating for people. And I think it's really interesting when we think about who we are as people being wired for human connection and belonging. I always say visibility is vulnerability. And when we are on a stage, it's almost like it's like the most exposed we'll ever be, in a way that there is this level of exposure that feels really uncomfortable. Like you said, there are people that one-on-one are great. They can do a great job one-on-one. It's like, oh my gosh, it put me in a room full of people. The panic attack starts, the palms are sweating, like the fear. So it's like, and it's kind of like that exposure, like maybe 10 people is fine, but we get to 20, or we get to 100, or we get to 1,000, you know, like the bigger the audience, the more that fear can like really take over. Right. And so I just kind of wanted to start there, because I think one is just like acknowledging that that's normal and you're human and in order to convey a message powerfully, how do we learn the skills, learn the practices, learn the tools, and develop the thoughts that will allow us to communicate powerfully. Because it's, you know, it's not just the mechanics of it, right? We can talk about like, oh, here's what to do with your voice, and here's what to do with your hands, and don't pace back and forth, right? But it's like, what's the story you're telling yourself about who you are, about your message? And one of my biggest mantras as a speaker is always has always been to show up and serve. When I shift my mindset from the ego says, I want to look good and get it right, and I don't want to make any mistakes. And if I do it perfectly, then I can avoid all pain or perceived judgment, right? And this like this kind of driving for perfection. And when I shift from my only job right now is to show up and serve this audience, serve this community, like share a message that will help them in some way. And I'm shifting my focus essentially from me to them, right? So that's like, you know, so maybe you could share some of those.
Absolutely.
The mindset shifts and where you begin that journey with people as they're moving through that fear. They're coming to you, they're like, I'm freaked out, I have these presentations, I have to speak. Where do you begin that journey with people?
The journey that I begin is very similar, and I love your mantra, and I love that the focus that you're having there with it's your purpose. And I asked you this, what was your purpose? And you eloquently explained that at the beginning really well. The purpose is based on, with acceptance commitment therapy, it's very, very similar. So we establish what your values are. So, and I describe values, and I certainly don't want to be patronizing here to you at all, but, you know, values for me are not necessarily your goals. So they are what is important to you. So there's a series of questions that I ask my clients. Let me give you some of them now. So the first one would be, what is important to you? Who or what is important to you? And I think that's not, there's an obvious answer that most people say, well, my family and my children and you know, my wife, my partner, etc. These are important to me. Some people say my career, right, and that's absolutely fine. Some people say, you know, this project that I'm working on, that's important to me at the moment. That's fine. So establishing why, you know, what, you know, the why again, some are cynic, but the purpose, the what for, that's really important. The second question is, these are really powerful questions, actually. The first one is sort of slightly, you know, semantic. But the second one is, can you give me a time in your life where you felt alive and vital? And a lot of people go back to when they were maybe at college or school, or when they had their, you know, first crush, or they had their first experience of, you know, of freedom or independence or something like that, or a new job that they felt, you know, alive and accepted and respected in. And there's a series of questions like that where you really have to think about, you know, when did I feel valued? When did I feel that I was contributing to the world or to my life? Where did I feel that I found purpose in what I do? What is my passion? What is my love, my values? So the idea is that when you're doing, we include or incorporate mindfulness or present moment exercises. These are very simple breathing exercises. Mindfulness, present moment, happy to share some with you, but they're mainly meditational breathing exercises. So the idea is that when you're doing these meditation exercises, you're conscious of your values and what's important to you and the answers that we've discovered and explored together. So that's one of the focuses that I implement when I'm coaching, is to determine what your values are and what's important to you, and to be able to focus on those. And so there's the idea is that you practice mindfulness techniques where you're, if I give an example, this is an audio, so I've got to be very, is that right? Ultimately, it's audio.
Yes.
So I've got to be,
yeah.
Right, I've got to be careful. It's not going to be visual. So imagine that, so there's a metaphor in ACT, one of the metaphors that we use metaphors a lot, which is sky and the weather. We are the sky. The sky stays where we are. We are us. And then the weather, as in clouds, move, especially in the UK. We get a lot of clouds in the UK, so it's an easy one to visualize. So the clouds are moving by. Now, the clouds represent our thoughts or distractions. So the practice or the mindfulness is to practice with slow breathing in through the nose, breathing out through the mouth, very slowly, deep breathing. And I obviously combine that with voice coaching and using the breath to control the in-breath and the out-breath. So acknowledging and being aware, or accepting, if you like, those clouds that are going by, but bringing your thoughts back to the breath. Now, the breath, as a metaphor, represents your values. So whether that's, well, actually, I'm doing this speech, or I'm doing this presentation because it's important to me, because I want to, so for me personally, I'm doing this podcast because I want to share this information. I want to share this method, if you'd like, with a lot more people. I believe that it can help people, and, you know, and that's, I want to reach more people to do that. And same for you. So that's why we're doing this. And that's my purpose. So that's, you know, when I'm practicing my mindfulness and I go back to the breath represents that. So rather than getting on stage and being distracted by negative thoughts or anything that might be going on, or wondering what that person at the front row is, why have they got their arms folded and staring at me as I start speaking, or worrying about the tech, worrying about that light being too bright, or the headphones, not, I can't quite hear, and that's going to completely put me off. So having that space, that mental space to know that actually it doesn't matter that I'm not going to be perfect. It doesn't matter. I'm doing this for that one reason, which is based on my values.
Yeah. So it's like starting with, why does this matter to me? What is important, and how can that, I think it's like reminding ourselves, you know, it's not just about, yeah, like getting on stage or doing this podcast. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of things we both could be doing right now, but it's like for what purpose, you know, to make a positive difference, to make an impact, to help people in some way. You know, when I give a talk, when I'm doing a podcast, I'm always thinking about, like, if this changed one person's life, if this was the thing that this one person needed to hear, or, you know, we're helping like speakers deliver their message more powerfully. You know, I'm in a speaking community, and they say, we believe that words delivered with passion and precision can change the world. That's what we believe, right? And so it's like, can we help people, you know, do what they do, like create art through speaking and create these transformational moments and experiences? And like, really, for anybody out there listening, you know, before you get on stage, or ideally this is a mindfulness practice you can do, it's like, why is this important for me to be a speaker, to deliver this presentation, to get on this podcast? And it's, I always think about this idea of like, where are you coming from? Your come from is like how, it's like the energy behind the words that you speak. Because I could be coming from the place in me that wants you to like me. So if I'm coming from the place in me that wants you to accept me, to like me, to give me a standing ovation, whatever it is, then my mind is like, how do I get you to like me? How do I get you to like, right? Like, what do I have to do? That like recovering people pleaser in me is, that's the focus, versus like, I'm here to help you realize your full potential, realize your greatness, realize the greatness in this team, in this organization. Like, it's like almost like, what's the thing running the show behind the scenes? That it's like, it might not be the words that you're saying, but it's the energy that you're saying them with that I think impacts how that lands with your audience. Right. And so I really, really appreciate that perspective.
Could you give me an example of the, you know, this, you mentioned the speaker community that you're in. What would be the main sort of purpose behind their speaking? What are they? What's their focus? And I know your focus, but is it a similar focus? Is that, I hope you don't mind me asking you a question.
Oh, you can ask me all the questions. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that I really appreciate about that community is really sitting with this question of, what is the message on your heart? And what is the thing that only you can say in the way that only you can say it, overlapped with what does the market need / will pay for, right? Because like, you can be passionate about something very esoteric that nobody is really going to like hire you to give a keynote talk on. So it's this kind of Venn diagram of, I think it's just connecting to that place, like you said, of like, what is this message that matters to me so much that I'm willing to, you know, do the scariest thing, i.e. get on stage and share it with a group of people who've never met me before. You know, so I think as keynote speakers entering into a new space where they've never heard of you, they don't know who you are. It's not like you're like some famous celebrity person. How do we build trust and rapport from the moment we walk into the room? Not even on the stage, but it's like we're in the room with the people. When we walk on stage, how do we build that trust and rapport such that people are like, I want to listen to what this person has to say.
Say and- something. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry to interrupt. No, I well, you mentioned rapport and connection, and it really reminds me of what I try to, I definitely suggest to my clients, something that I used to do a lot when I was performing. I still perform, not I used to do 8 shows a week and lots of, you know, corporate gigs as well. And what I would try to do would be to get to the venue before, you know, an hour before, and not be in the green room for sitting there for ages talking to the other acts and talking to, you know, the agent or my agent or whoever it might be. I would try to get into the room. I would try to find. So I help people with presence, and there's a wonderful book called Presence by Patsy Rodenberg, which is an incredible book. And Patsy talks about the 3 circles. I could go into detail on this, but I won't. But what I try to do is literally breathe into the room. And this sounds a little bit hippie.
We're here for the woo, Jimmy.
Let's do this. Do you fancy doing this exercise now? Should we do this?
Let's do it.
Okay, right. Let's brilliant. Go. Fantastic. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So imagine. So it doesn't really matter what space you're in. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about each corner of the room. Now, so technically speaking, if you're in a, you know, an oblong or square room or cuboid, then you've got more than 4 corners. You've got maybe how many? 1, 2, 3. You know, you've got how many? 16 or 12, 16 corners. You've got quite a few. So what I want you to do, I want you to breathe into. And I'm going to try to do this from an audio level as well. So I went literally like that into each. And you doesn't have to do it like the heart, but you know, to, into the room, into the, each corner. Okay. So we'll do it together. All right. Are you ready? So just breathe very slowly. Take a big breath, and then. Okay. Trying to hyperventilate when you're doing it. So if you're doing it too quickly. Excellent. Keep going. So it's going to look a bit strange if you're walking around a conference room while you're doing this, but you can do it silently and you can do it without making too much of a grimace or on your face. So the idea is that if you fill the space that you're in with the sound, with your presence, with your energy, because breath and or sound or tone is actually energy. It's you know, sound is right, is a resonance. It's moving particles, air particles. You're using, you're manipulating the air and changing that into sound through resonance, through phonation, through articulators, and to create that sound that we hear. And that also can be heard in different guises, either through microphones, through different acoustic environments, etc., or just face to face, depending on what type of acoustic you're in. So by not owning the space, he talks about 3 circles and not owning the space, but just filling the space. And that's a really powerful thing to speak and to fill the energy of the room before you get on the stage. And so I walk around the room. I try to do this. I you know, breathe into the space of the room. I also talk to maybe a waiter or a maitre d' that is putting, you know, all together. There might be someone in the AV who's putting up some lights or putting a monitor on stage, and I will just go up to them and say, hi, how you doing? Everything good? How long have you been here? Normal kind of, you know, cab or taxi, you know, how long, do you have a long day? You know, that's sort of, yeah, I've been here since 6 o'clock, mate, you know. So that sort of conversation. And it's just, you know, hi, I'm Jimmy. I'm going to be speaking later on, you know, and, you know, thanks for being here. Fantastic. Just having a bit of a chat with people. And it's incredibly powerful because you've already spoken to a few people. You've already filled the acoustic energy with your energy. I find it really powerful. And you know, I don't know if you do anything like that yourself, but it's great.
I love the idea of just like being in that energetic space and like breathing in. You know, one of the points of my talk is I talk about, in the midst of change, challenge, and chaos, will you bring the weather? And bringing the weather is about you setting kind of the tone and the temperature and the energetic presence of whatever room that you walk into, right? So it's like, what is the energy that I want to infuse this event with, these people with, you know? And, you know, to me, it's like love, passion, belonging, acceptance, courage, bravery, whatever it is, like almost to infuse that energy in that space. And the thing that I do that you just said too is connecting with people. You know, I think that it's one of the biggest ways that I, you know, regulate my own nervous system is I meet a few people, get to know their names, have a conversation with them, ask them why they're there, ask them what their goals of the event are, hopes, dreams, what inspired them to be there? What do they want to get out of it? And like weaving that into like my message and my thought. And instead of speaking to a room full of strangers, I'm speaking to Bob, Wendy, and Susan or whatever, right? And so it's like, how can that help us? It's like ground into, it's like, I'm not just speaking to this like sea of random people, but I think that that's such a valuable thing to do of, you know, how do we, and, you know, and this is one of the things that I talk about is regulating our nervous system as speakers, of knowing like we're going to be, it's this heightened state, again, the palms sweating, the heart pounding. I'm curious what tools, breathing wise, you said, you know, there's some mindfulness and presencing practice, like you're about to get on stage and it's kind of like that behind the scenes moment. You're being introduced and there is this, there's a lot of energy that can be moving through. So I'm curious if you have any kind of like, right before you walk on stage, what you have people do or what you invite people to do to help them kind of ground and land and bring that their full presence.
Sure, absolutely. Well, there's loads of techniques. The breath really is the most powerful thing, I find. And I always resort to the breath, and I always start, you know, my sessions with breathing. It's incredibly powerful. And so what's really interesting is that both the inhale and the out breath have an effect to respiratory and the sympathetic system. A deep inhale. So we, generally speaking, unless you've had voice coaching or you've been singing for, you know, all your life and you've had training, we generally don't breathe correctly. And we're not using what's called diaphragmatic breathing. And actually, just to quickly explain, it's not the diaphragm. Well, if I could just sort of tell you that, the, without sounding patronizing, so the diaphragm, if you've heard the expression diaphragmatic breathing, is only working on the inhale. So the diaphragm contracts and lowers from the abdomen and works on the inhale only. And the out breath, the abdominal muscles push the diaphragm in and up. So it's called diaphragmatic breathing, but it's mainly, you would probably call it belly breathing or abdominal breathing. But anyway, that's beside the point. So the in-breath, a very slow, deep in-breath, I'm not going to do this now because it's sort of silent, but we can do, I tell you a really effective thing that I do is, and I teach, is a silent breath. So silent breathing through the nose is called a boteka. It's a Russian technique called boteka. And you do it through the nose because there's a more direct connection to the vagus nerve, which is directly connected to the various muscles and various connectors in the body, such as the larynx and the abdomen and the diaphragm. So by taking a breath in through the nose is really effective to firstly lower your heart rate and secondly release endorphins, which is the happy drug. So doing it silently is also a great thing because it relaxes the larynx. So generally speaking, when we're about to speak, and it's normally 60 seconds before we're about to speak, is the most heightened sense, as you mentioned, of anxiety. So 60 seconds, just before we might be standing on stage in the wings, ready to go on, we're just testing the head mic or whatever it might be. You might have a producer or somebody saying, we're just about to go on, Jimmy, just about 5 seconds, 5, 4, it might be that, and you think, oh, tense up, relax, relax. At that moment, you want to take a nice, slow, deep breath, silent breath. Now, if you do it silently, so if you're not doing it silently, you'll feel or hear, I'll just get very close to the mic so you can hear. So if I do it normally, it's, and you can probably hear that, hopefully you can hear that, it's air coming through the nasal passages, right? Now, if you do it silently like this, I'll try to do it really, really close. This is terrible for radio because it's completely silent, but that's completely silent. So right? So it's completely silent, and you're a witness to that. I was doing it. I promise you, I was doing it.
I saw it. It was real. It was real.
It was real. So what you're doing is you're relaxing the larynx. So the larynx is opening. You're creating more space in that area, and the vocal tract is widening. So as you're doing that, you're a more direct connection to the diaphragm. You're releasing the tension in the larynx. So if you are, when you are about to speak, the tension in the larynx or the vocal tract is then relaxed. So you're already relaxed before you start speaking. So that sign, very slow, deep breath, allowing your belly to come out and drop without any dignity when you're practicing it, and allows the diaphragm to contract and your lungs to expand, allowing more air in. We need to breathe, be able to take a lot more air in as we're about to speak, because then we need to use the breath. So the biggest mistake is that most people take very short upper chest breaths, right? And especially if we're nervous. So if we're nervous, it's quick breaths, quick clips of speech. And actually what we need to do is to take time to take pauses and use the breath to pause. So just before 60 seconds, we're about to walk on stage, slow, deep breath through the nose, silently, ideally. And then the first thing that you say should be this, should be a long, elongated phrase where you're controlling the amount of breath from the abdominal muscles as you're speaking. Now, you do that, and then again, there's a direct sympathetic, a direct connection to the sympathetic nervous system, which calms down the heart, reduces the heart rate. As you're, and this is not just me making this up, there's research to say that an elongated or lengthened phrase in one breath, if you're elongating the vowels as I'm doing now, reduces the heart rate, and therefore hopefully reduces the anxiety at the same time, or at least mitigates the anxiety. You'll never get rid of the anxiety, because as you said at the beginning, you know, we are wired, fight, flight, etc., to be on, you know, to be ready and armed for any danger that might be coming in. And that might be, it could be anything on a conference.
Yeah, you know? It's true. So, and to be ready, to be prepared. But I think it's so important, right? Like, how do we ground and harness that energy, harness that adrenaline, use that as fuel, you know, for that message of like, man, this message matters. I always, and one of the things I say is I'm nervous because I care, you know, I care about making a difference. I care about this landing for people wanting to make an impact, right? So that's kind of where it, knowing again, where am I coming from? So I'm curious, you know, you've created this method, the Canon method, as you like to call it. Can you guide us through that? Can you walk us through that step by step? I know we've jumped around a little bit and we've talked about like different pieces of the puzzle of how we transform audiences with our words. And as you like to say, again, speak without fear. So what is that methodology? What's that process? If you can share your secrets with all of us.
It's a holistic approach. It's a combination of voice, presence and confidence, and the three in my opinion need to be in existence. They need to be there for the whole approach to work and the method to work. So having control over your voice, having control over what I like to say your instrument, and having effortless mastery over that. So to be able to use different tones of voice, there's seven areas of resonance that you can tap into to create different tonal areas of or color if you're speaking. So if you want to use a more sort of more empathic kind of voice, you might do what I call the vicar voice here. We have the vicar sound. But if you want to project your voice, then you might want to use more nasality, more resonance from the oral cavity or the larynx, etc. So having that control and mastery over your instrument is one thing. So you're able to use. So here's the thing about actually engaging an audience is that if it's monotone, so if it's on one pitch, right, and lots of, you know, you hear lots of people speaking in that way, and it can be incredibly boring. The brain is wired to tune out if it's just on one pitch. Now, that could just be one pitch, or it could be one phrase. So there's lots, you know, you hear lots of people that just perhaps they create a descending tone as they're speaking. And then again, they're going to say something else and it just goes down in pitch. And I'm going to say something else. And here I am paraphrasing what I'm saying. But again, I'm going down in pitch. And it all, every phrase the same. Now, after about 30 seconds or a minute of that, people tune out and they get bored and they start looking at phones. They can start getting distracted or they start thinking, you know, when's the break? So what I help people do is vary the tonal quality of their voice and also the pitch range. So we use 20% on average of our potential chest resonance for men, and for women, their head voice. So we're using a very, very small, a fifth of our potential, you know, vocal range that we could use in our normal speaking voice. That, you know, that, of what we could do, and that's not even including different registers such as, you know, such as a blend or mixed voice or the falsetto or the head voice or whistle tone or creak or other areas of the voice that I'm, you know. So that's the voice. There is then presence. So it's again, that's the presence of body alignment, breathing, filling the space with your words, using vowel quality or colors to create the intention of words, you know, using words and the colors of the vowels to help the intention of that message. You know, that's presence as well as the physicality of the voice, the resonance, and using the resonance to fill the space that you're in, you know, whether it be on like we are now with a microphone or whether it be in a more open space as you might do on the stage, and, you know, using your voice for that. And then there's obviously, and there's confidence as well. So the three pillars, if you like, come together. Now, confidence is, in my method, are going to be explored through finding your voice and finding confidence through your voice, finding the presence to connect with the audience, and then really establishing what your values are and establishing, again, your purpose and your why. So establishing all of those three things and putting the voice, the presence, will give you confidence. And any of those three, any of those two, I said two main pillars, really, either the voice or your presence, will give you the confidence to explore and to, you know, to search that purpose that you're looking for.
I love that so much. And, you know, I think frameworks and methodologies are so helpful because they can help us see kind of where those opportunities for growth are, like where can we like close the gap, or where can we, again, like elevate our impact and amplify that, you know, our for our message to land more powerfully. And I think it's so interesting, you know, we're using like a fifth of our range when it comes to our voice or our tonality. And I think that the interesting thing that I find is so often we're not aware of it. You know, and I think one of the most powerful things, anybody out there who is a professional speaker or you have to do it for your work, is to record yourself. And that's one of the things I just got a new video camera because I'm like, you know what? Even if they're not filming it, and even if I'm not using it for any reason for social media, I want to like essentially like review my game tape of what did I actually sound like? Because it's, you know, yeah, you can get some feedback from the audience of that was great or great job or whatever it is. But it's like, did I let that message land? Am I kind of one tone? Am I, you know, for me, I can kind of come out strong and like only have maybe like one note which is energy, a lot of energy, and kind of like fire hose people with my energy versus like, is there an up and down? Am I taking people on a journey? And is there a pause? Like, maybe I should let that linger a little bit longer, right? And it's like, this is like a playground, right? The stage is this like playground of how can I communicate my message in a way, again, that really lands well. And there's always these like little micro adjustments.
So can I ask you, yes, can I ask you, as a presenter, performer, speaker, do you go on stage and think, and I, you know, I'm thinking about my performance as a singer. So do you go on stage every time that you speak and think, every time I go on, I want to improve something about the delivery?
You know, that's a really great question.
Based on what you've been watching in the recording or what you did last time or whatever you weren't happy with? Or
I think that that's where I'm at right now is I feel like I'm in this refinement process of I'm pretty good and I want to be amazing. I want to be epic. And so it's like really taking the time to review, you know, like this is as of like a couple of weeks ago, I have two to go back and watch. But I really like this idea of, okay, I have this talk coming up on Monday. What's the one thing based on what I saw that I really want to focus on or work on, whether that's my range or my pacing or the pause or the energy, you know, and like finding what that sweet spot is. But I think going in with this, like, okay, what is something that I can focus on, you know, to elevate the impact?
How much is that based on what you feel about your perception of how you, you know, came across and whether the message, you know, landed, in comparison to how the audience reacted on the, at the time?
In the moment, you know, and on the recording, you can like hear when people laugh. Sometimes I catch myself kind of like saying the same thing over and over. And when I do that, it's like, oh, maybe I saw somebody who like looked confused, or like, did I repeat myself? Did what I say make sense? Was that metaphor, did that land? So it's like, I mean, when I review the game tape kind of stuff, it's more of like what I'm seeing. And, you know, as a recovering perfectionist, it's like, oh, I can't believe I said it that way. Or, oh, wow, yeah. I didn't know that I did that with my hands or whatever, right? So I think it's like, how can we look at it with that non-judgmental curiosity too, and just say, there's always going to be room for improvement. And that's one of the things that I love. Like, it is an art, it is a craft, and it's like, it's stagecraft, right? And there's so many pieces of the puzzle, right? Am I communicating the message clearly? Is it landing? Is it resonating? Or is there, what can I improve in order to really have that be clear? Because there's the message, and then there's the delivery of that message, I guess, right? So I'm kind of in the refinement process of both pieces. Like, what is the message? And is that the thing? And is it again, clearly being communicated? And again, how am I delivering that message? So looking at that from both angles.
The comparison between, let's say, I'm going off a slight tangent here, but the comparison, say, let's of you know, delivering a song, for instance, that's already sort of you know, in the canon or in the repertoire of the public, you know, the public domain. You're delivering a message that is perhaps, you know, completely original, and it's right. So you're, you know, that's sort of the focus, really, is that. That's a concern.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to land as well. You know, so you've really got to make sure that the intention is true.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
There's a lot for me to like take away and think about from this conversation. And I always love to ask people as we wrap up for today, you know, as folks are going out there into the world, they're wanting to share their heart, their message, whether on stage or in the boardroom, what is the biggest piece of advice you would give to them, or what would be your final parting words and final thoughts that you'd love to leave people with today? And then where can people find you and learn more about you and take your quiz and like, yeah, really help elevate their own ability to share their messages with more conviction and confidence?
Good. Excellent. Okay. So I would say, establish what's really important to you and why you're doing what you're doing, and take time to find the space, find the pause, find the space, and embrace that space, that time, that area of time, which allows people to digest what you're saying and allows you to process your thoughts, which I'm doing now. And to, you know, that's really important. And you brought it up earlier on about pace and pause, and listening and pace and pause is absolutely vital, I feel, to how you communicate your message. And you can find me. I do have a quiz, which is a long URL, but you can find me on jimmycannon.com.
Yeah, I just took the quiz before we hopped on here. And I think the questions that you ask are really powerful questions. Is anyone, again, wanting to share your message with the world? And I appreciate that these final words and these final, the final thought of really figure out why this matters to you. You know, what's on your heart? What do you want to say that needs to be said to people?
Absolutely.
And, you know, knowing like where you are coming from, right? Am I coming from this place of wanting to look good and get it right? Or coming from this place of like, I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to serve. And that, I think, just totally shifts how our message lands. And so I appreciate you so much and the work that you're doing in the world and bringing people's voices to the table, you know, like helping them speak with more confidence in who they are and what they're up to. So as always, I love to hear your golden nuggets, your takeaways as you go out into the world. Definitely check out Jimmy's quiz. And again, Jimmy, thank you so much for taking the time to
my pleasure, Marla.
Hear
thank
your
you so much
magic
indeed.
Today.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on another inspiring episode of the Marley Williams podcast. We hope you're leaving here with renewed energy and valuable insights to fuel your leadership, coaching, and speaking endeavors. I'd love to invite you to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast to help us reach more aspiring leaders and speakers like you. We have more exciting episodes and remarkable guests lined up, so make sure to tune in next time. Until then, keep leading with purpose, coaching with heart, and speaking with conviction. This is Marley Williams signing off. See you next week.